Thank you very much, Perry. Woohoo! I feel like a kid in a candy store up here. Can I just tell you? Because I've come to discover, we're going to talk about letting our light shine and about our gifts, and I've come to discover one of my gifts is being a teacher. Right? It's been part of me for a long time, but I fully embrace it in a new way. So here I am. I have a class. I've got a microphone, even one of those cool ones like they have on TV shows that hooks here. And I've got a stage. Like, this is good up here for me. So I hope that you will enjoy this little journey that we're going to go on as well. Now, one of the things about being a teacher, the role of a teacher in my mind, is that we create a platform for learning. The learning is yours, but I can create a space, hopefully, that enables you to do that learning. So part of that, then, for today's message is that I'll offer some things that, by the end, you get to decide whether they do or they don't resonate for you. There's some things that worked for me on my spiritual journey, but they may not feel right for you. Either way, I think it's been a good thing, because if a new window opens for you this morning, wonderful. Or if you reconnect with something that says, thanks, Catherine, but that's not for me, that's something good for you too, to reconnect with that sense of what's important for you. So either way, I think we've gotten someplace good with that. Okay. So as I mentioned, I want to talk to you today about letting your light shine. What do I mean by that? Why do I care about that? And then let's say you like what you hear, then how the heck do I get my light to shine? Maybe one of the questions that you'll have. And I'm very much about practical spirituality. That's a large part of what attracted me to Unity when I came and heard the messaging here. It's got to work for me in my everyday life. And so I hope to help you see why shining your light is so important and give you some ways that you can connect with that to truly bring it to life in your everyday life. So I'm going to have 5 lessons for you. This will be part of the GPS. You can help to keep me on track. Do you hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And if you don't by the end, you have to say, Catherine, we didn't hear them all, okay? So I'm going to start with the quote that inspired this talk for me. It's a quote that inspired me when I first heard it a number of years ago. And I knew, for me, it was profound, but I didn't quite get it. I didn't understand it initially. So I'm going to read it, and then we're going to take it in a few different sections to try and give it some meaning for you here today. So here's the quote. It's from A Return to Love by Marianna Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. We are all meant to shine. So what is this shining? We're in this era of the internet, so guess what? You can do a search in Google on Bible passages with light. And lots of stuff is going to come up. Light is very prominent in the Bible, in any religious text. And so I'm going to read you Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You have light. Everyone has light It is in all of us, and it's not meant to be hidden under a bowl. And as a matter of fact, it can't be hidden, because it's that light at the top of the hill that can be seen by everyone. For a long time, I didn't know what my gifts were, and I'm still uncovering them. And that's actually a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the journey. What a lovely journey to be on, to discover parts of myself that I get to more consciously bring forward and share with people. The trick for me was to acknowledge that they might actually be in there and to start tapping into them and to start seeing them. I come from a background of a lot of schooling. I have a PhD, so I've got 3 degrees, and then there was all that grade school before. And so I've learned a lot in that many years of school, at least we would hope so. That much investment in time and energy, I learned a few things. And so part of the challenge for me in discovering my gifts was making a distinction between all this stuff I knew and the stuff that really came from inside. And I had a hard time reconciling this idea that a gift could be something that I haven't studied. What? I don't have a degree in it, so I can't have a gift in it. Don't we have to go to school for things? Guess what? No, you don't. They're that divine part of you. They are within each and every one of us. They truly are. And so our invitation is to start noticing them. I had a job that many would aspire to, the academic university, tenured academic university professor, but I was grossly unhappy and ended up having pain that was so intense, I had to stop and take stock, literally. The pain, the only place I could be was with that pain. And I realized that I no longer wanted to be an academic, but I didn't know what would come next. And so I quit and I jumped and began this purposeful journey to heal myself, to address that pain, and to figure out who I was. And it took me a while to get some distance from academia. The first thing was just to push it all away and say, oh, I'm done with that. That's not me anymore. And after some time and distance, some time here in Unity, I was finally able to ask the question, what parts of that did I like? Because it couldn't have been all bad. I mean, I was in it for 10 years and I was successful, so it couldn't have been all bad. So what were the parts that I really liked? And one was, I realized I did like teaching. I was willing to admit that now and say, I am a teacher. That's part of who I am. I just don't want the 13-week semester system as my way to be a teacher anymore. And it was okay to come to that realization. It was great for me to come to that realization, so that I could stand here today claiming that gift of teacher. The other part that I loved when I reflected on it, when I was being open to saying, what was there that I really, really enjoyed? And it were those moments when I would be sitting there with a student in my office, and they may or may not be crying, they often were, because we were having a conversation about life. And they would be saying something like, I'm in accounting, but I don't want to be in accounting. I don't like accounting. And this is not to slight any accountants. I'm grateful for accountants. I love accountants. But not everybody is meant to be an accountant, right? And often the conversation would go something like, also from the student, but there's a job at the end of accounting, and my parents want me to be an accountant, so I'm going to be an accountant, but I don't really want to be an accountant. So our conversation would shift towards, what do you love to do? What gets you excited? Where is your enthusiasm? Follow that energy. And I wasn't saying to them, don't leave accounting, right? Because maybe there were parts of that that they actually loved too, but they just couldn't see in the umbrella of some of the things that they were working with. And I would invite them to look for creative ways to maybe keep working with accounting if there were parts of it that seemed to resonate for them, and to bring in whatever else it might be. So those conversations were they were juice for me. I really, really, really enjoyed those. And I've come to discover that one of my gifts is listening and holding space. Okay, wait a minute. I'm an engineer in my PhD. I have computer science. There was no listening training as part of that. And when I started to reflect and notice this listening and holding space, and I would try it out with friends, and, you know, invariably the response I would get was, well, duh, of course. Why do you think we call you all the time? Why do you think you're the person we want to talk to when we're in our own state of crisis? You're the one who just listens and helps us find our own answers. You don't tell us what to do. Well, who knew that that was something you could sort of actually do? And now I'm realizing that I can, and that's the coach and counselor part of me that gets to come out and to play. And it also absolutely is a part of teaching, as I described it as well. So if I recap, here's some of the lessons to this point. Lesson one, we all have gifts. I'm just going to have to ask you to believe me on that one. We all have gifts, and I invite you to think about your own. Lesson two, we often don't see our own gifts, but trust me, they are there and poking out whether we acknowledge them or not. And I'm going to give you a sort of an 2A, 2B, 2C on this one. I kind of cheated. I said five, but it's a few more. So 2A, they are the things you do naturally, with ease. And you may or may not have any formal education around them. You know, now that I've tapped into this listening part of me, I have gone for more schooling. But it's there with or without that education. 2B. Ask your friends. I didn't know what a source they were. They see your gifts. They can tell you. Ask your friends. And then ask yourself, what is it that I love to do? What makes my heart sing? Let those gifts come out. And then 2C, check your deepest wounds. They call forth some of your greatest gifts. When I was 14, so this would have been grade 10, my friend Charlene turned to me and said, I went by Kathy at the time, Kathy, can you please tell the French teacher I won't be in class this afternoon? I'm not feeling well. Sure, Charlene, I can do that. 2 weeks later, Charlene had died of leukemia, and I never got to see her again. I had gotten a cold, and with leukemia, any sort of form of cancer, your immune system is down and out. And so me having a cold, I couldn't go and see her. Fast forward many years later, and my grandmother was in palliative care, and I spent 10 days with her as she was dying. And I can feel it now. And I said goodbye to her. And it was one of the hardest things I ever did. But out of those experiences, and I see it now, but I didn't see it then, one of the things I do now is I work with hospice patients. I hold space for them. I listen. I'm not afraid to be with death. And it's not to say that everybody has to go out and do the same gifts as me, but I've come to appreciate that actually being able to hold space with people who are dying is a gift. It's a particular form of that listening gift. And I am so grateful to have tapped into that one. But it took me a long time to get there. But it was always there. The seed started, in particular, back when I was 14. Let's go back to that quote for a second. Who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous. Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. I want to tie this into giving and receiving. It's something we talk a lot about here at Unity. Lovingly I give, and joyfully I receive. And I had a chance to discover when I make myself small, I actually influence and affect negatively, I think, that exchange of the giving and receiving. They're so interwoven. Somebody gives you something, and if you don't receive it, that exchange hasn't happened. I mentioned that I went back and got some additional training. I went to Rhodes Wellness College, and I did a diploma in coaching and counseling. And in coaching, we give each other a lot of feedback. That's part of the coaching process. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get that feedback. So I was working with a group, and I was the leader of the group. We were developing a lesson plan, and given my background, I didn't need as much practice developing lesson plans. I've done a few of those in 10 years of teaching. So it was asked, would I lead the group? There, I think we were four or five people, and I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. So we developed our lesson plan, and we delivered it, and then after we had had this experience, feedback time. Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on. And here's the feedback that came to me. Catherine, I really loved being part of your group. I have wanted to work with you ever since class started. I really enjoyed the leadership that you brought to the group. Thank you. It really made my experience wonderful being part of this team. Lovely. Wow. How about that? And what did I do? I said, oh, really? Thank you. But it's not me. It's you. It's you who came and showed up. You're what made it special. And so that's not necessarily bad sounding, right? But let's stop and explore that a little bit. Here was feedback round two. So she gave me this feedback of how she'd enjoyed the experience, and then I gave her my response, and she came back with, that doesn't work. You've just denied my experience. I want you to be the leader that you were. I want you to own that, step into that. That's important for me. Part of my experience was you being the leader. And you just denied it. And by denying it, you actually denied me part of my experience. Wow, that really hit me. And if I relate it to what we're talking about, I realized, in a way, yes, I was actually trying to make myself smaller so that she could be, I thought, bigger. And in the reality of actually making me smaller, it made her feel smaller too. And what she was asking was for us to celebrate all that we had brought and to fully step into all of that experience, not to deny any of it from any individual. And that was a profound learning moment for me, where I, as I said, I connected with this idea that if I make myself smaller, I don't serve other people. Making myself bigger inspires other people. Tapping into your gifts, bringing your gifts to life, is about making yourself bigger so that others can be inspired as well. So here's lesson three. Be a good receiver. We talk a lot about giving. I think there's a lot more that's understood about giving. And I hope you've gotten some insight into receiving. It's just as important, actually, to be a good receiver. Lesson four. The learning is in the fear and resistance. It tells you when something matters, when something is important. And related to that one, I have a motto that I've been invoking this year. Do one thing a day that scares me. And I chose to set this at the beginning of the year, and I wasn't quite sure what this was gonna look like, but I had come to realize that where I felt resistance, where I felt fear, for me, that meant I was actually tapping into something profoundly important. And so my defense, what if it didn't work? What if that part of me couldn't come out to play, would show up as resistance. And so I created this motto, do one thing a day that scares me. And so as you can imagine, coming forward, and I think I said it to Mary initially first, Mary Toth, I think I'd like to give a talk at Unity. That was the first, that was that day, do one thing a day that scares me. Then let's pick a date. Okay, do one thing a day that scares me. October the 2nd, here I am. And as you can imagine, when I woke up this morning, I was a little nervous. So this counts, I think, for my do one thing a day that scares me. Here's the gift in that, right? So I'm attempting to step into my gifts as I do this. And this is the part that I didn't expect, but I want to share with you because it's part of all of what I've been describing here. So because I was afraid, had some fear around this, what did I do? I shared it with a lot of my friends. And I said to them, oh, look, I'm going to do this. I kind of can't believe I said I'm going to speak at Unity. What I consistently got back from people, and again, this was the part, wow, you inspire me. You inspire me. What a wonderful gift to give to somebody else, to inspire them. And the way it came was through me stepping into my gifts. That's the thing. All you have to do is step into you, step into your gifts. You don't even have to worry about them. They're going to come along for the ride. You doing what you were meant to do, you shining your light, will inspire other people. How glorious is that? So lesson four, as I mentioned, the learning is in the fear and resistance. It tells you something when something is important, when it matters. And then lesson five, use your body and its wisdom. And this ties back to the meditation. That's why I chose the meditation that I did today, getting back into your body. Your body knows. Your body knows when you're tapping into those things that are in that sacred part of you. That resistance you feel that's keeping you smaller, there's a message there, that there's something underneath, there's an invitation to open up. Or maybe that's the enthusiasm that you feel, right? You feel that in your body, that enthusiasm, there's something there. Follow that energy. The root, this was interesting, I didn't know this, and as I was looking up, the root of enthusiasm is entheos. And entheos means full of God, or inspired, or having God within. Wow. So follow that enthusiasm. That's another way to tap into your gifts. And I want to bring our attention to the song that Perry sang, Share All Your Light. Here's some of the lyrics from the chorus. Like sand on a mountain, rain on a fountain, shade on a shadow, a breeze in this tornado, just do what you can, clap with one hand, and shine all your light in the sun. Sharing your gifts is not about being famous. It's not about being loud or being in any particular kind of job. It's just about being you. Like being that sand on the mountain or the rain on the fountain. Just be those beautiful things that are so naturally a part of you and know that that is enough. It's more than enough. It's actually divine. It's that spirit within you. Thank you. Okay, so now let's go back to our GPS. And where are we now? Okay, it's offering time. Time to bless our offerings. And I'll say our affirmation, lovingly I give and joyfully I receive. Everybody have their offering. Together, lovingly I give and joyfully I receive.